FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
You listen to Vectis Radio. Special guest in the studio. It's the one, the only. I thought, first of all, when I looked at the list of names that were appearing on the show this week, I thought it was Jilly Cooper. Better than that, this is a local author. We've got Joe Cooper. Afternoon, Joe. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm not as rich as Jilly Cooper, though.
You might be.
Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful?
Now, you've been on before.
I have. I came and chatted to you about Isle of Memories, story about my childhood, way back in 2017, I think. It's still selling. I still sell. In fact, I've sold 218 copies of that one.
Okay, and that was a book, 2017.
I'm sure it was that.
Good grief, that's a long time, and yeah. Lots happened since then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've come in and you clutched a trilogy, would it be fair to call it a trilogy of
books?
Yeah,
someone asked me when I'd finished the first one, are you doing any more and will it be a trilogy? And I said, don't be daft.
So before we talked, and there you are, you did.
I did one, and then they said, well, come on then, what happens to them? Where's number two? So I wrote number two, and then I thought I might as well write the third and have the trilogy.
So let's go back to number one. What happened? You finished one book, and then how did this all come about?
Well, I finished this book about our family history. I typed out my letters from the Crimean War and all sorts. Big event, big thing I did, and I finished it. And I said to my niece, oh, what am I going to do? And she said, write fiction. Come on, Joe, write fiction. So I thought, I've never tried it, I'll have a go. So I was fixed by this story of my mother seeing a red sky over Portsmouth and knowing that my father was there fighting fires. And she wrote immediately, said, dear Brian, if you write that, ask me that silly question again, I might say yes. And they got married 2 years later. So I loved that story, that love story. And then the other thing that fascinated me was the home front, how we all coped on the Isle of Wight, and also evacuees. And I looked into the history of the war on the island and wove the children into it. Evacuees came over from Portsmouth in September 39. Loads of them came over to the island. My little chap stayed, but a lot of them went because the phony war, there was nothing happening. My other character is Lindy, and she comes over just before Dunkirk. And they learn about Dunkirk because the fishing boats in the bay down the road from where they lived had gone. There were no fishing boats there. So they learned that side of Dunkirk, not the horrific side and awful stuff that was going on over in France. They learned that the fishing boats had gone because they're going to pick up the soldiers from Dunkirk.
Do you know what? There's not enough stories. And I know we do, every now and again, we talk about the stories of Britain and so on. But there's not enough local stuff out there that people know. Because obviously we were bombed during the war.
We were.
But no one ever really talks about it. I heard someone tell a story on November the 11th. I think it was Remembrance. Obviously Remembrance Sunday last year. One of our chaps did something about a ship that was in East Cowes. I can't pronounce the name. Don't ask me.
But that's in book three, but go on.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. And I just sat there listening to this story and thinking, we do not talk enough about what happened and what it was like during the war on the island. The stories we hear mainly are national. So I'm glad that you've written these.
Well, it's all centred around a place called Littlebridge, which between you and me and whoever's listening, but don't tell anyone else, is Binstead.
Binstead.
Because I know it so well. It was easy to write about it. I could shut my eyes and see it. The church, the cottage next door where I put my my little heroine, and her next door to her was Reggie. So they lived next door to each other, both 10 years old. They played in the woods. I knew that because I used to play in those woods. They went down on the beach. I know that because I went down on that beach and I could see it. So people say, how do you write? And I say, well, I shut my eyes, look at it, look around the scene and just write what I see. So it was all about that. So I went and then the red sky had to come into it. So my little girl hero, Lindy, her father was in Portsmouth, like my dad was. And he gets missing afterwards. But that's, I won't spoil the story for you because you said you're going to read it.
Well, I'm going to get you to turn it into an audio book. More on that later, so I can hear it. You've given me three books, and I'm just going to be the one of them's red. Is that that's the first
one? That's the first one, The Red Sky.
So that is the first one, and that is based in 1940.
Yeah, when she comes over. And 41 is when they were, 1941, January, the 10th and 11th, was the big blitz on Portsmouth that Lindy witnesses from her beach. And one little detail I found, that after they went down into Ryde the following day, went down to the Esplanade, and there was paper all along the Esplanade, little scraps of paper, big bits of paper. They'd floated over from the mainland during the fire. So little bits like that I put in there to just found out detail, like the golf balls I was telling you about earlier.
Go on, tell us about the golf balls.
Well, you see, I borrowed a book from someone who about Ryde Golf Club. I wanted to see whether the spotlights, big searchlights, were in the book. Couldn't find that. So I went to the date that Reggie went over there, 1939, and it was in there. There was a notice saying a number of golf balls have been stolen. The superintendent of police has been informed. He must have been a member of the golf course. I don't think they ran up Hampshire Police over a load of golf balls. Anyway, and I read this thing and I thought, I know who stole those, Reggie. So I wrote the story that Reggie had got a bucket of these damn golf balls. And Lindy, when she found out, she was furious. Absolutely. And made them give them all back. They nearly get caught, and they pop them pop them in trees and in gullies and in bits and pieces, just trying to get rid of all these hundreds of golf balls. And that was a true story that I manipulated. It's the same with the pilot on the beach. They find a pilot on the beach who'd been flying over Southampton. And that is a true story-ish, because a lot of pilots did land, and mainly on the south side of the island. People took them to the pub, gave them a bit of sustenance, and then called the police. I mean, these guys were only doing as they were told as a member of the Luftwaffe.
Mm.
And they were, people on the island were lovely, weren't they?
Well, they still are, aren't they?
I think so.
Some of them.
Oh, I get stories. Every time I do the shows, I get these stories, people coming into me. So
this first book, then, is A Red Sky.
Yeah.
Still available. We'll give you all the details of how you can get this book. And then there's the follow on. When you started writing this first one, did you think that there were going to be two, three and more, possibly?
I just thought I'll get through this one and see what happens. I was very shy, goodness gracious. And my daughter says, go on, don't do a show. So we put this table up and decorated it. And people kept buying, so it was lovely.
Well, do you know what? I mean, the books themselves, forget what's in it for a minute, they look striking. They look lovely. They're beautifully illustrated.
That's what the man from Medina Books said as he held it. He said, this is a nice book. I thought, you haven't owned it yet. He said, this is a nice book. He was feeling the cover. I thought, okay.
And they're illustrated by?
Maria Ward.
And she's done the whole lot, and they do. They look striking. They look eye-catching.
Yeah, she's great.
And I love I just love the drawings. And you say they're in a, there's a circle, and in every circle there's something coming out of the circle.
Yeah.
With the exception of one, isn't there?
No, they're all there because the sun goes into that one, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You're absolutely right. They are just beautiful to
look
at.
They've just escaped from Cowes, where your unpronounceable ship...
It's Polish, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Polish.
Yeah.
But so they've just escaped from there, and they're walking back, and she's helping Reggie because he's hurt his leg. His legs are all blooded. He's a hero. When you read about him, he's a hero in that actual conflict. And she's nearly at her wit's end. And then she kept saying to Reggie, it'll be all right, there will be blue skies, this will end, it'll be all right. So she turns out to be the sort of saviour of Reggie, who came over there to save her.
So that was that's book two, Sparkles in the Navy
no,
Blue.
That's book three.
Book three. Book You're jumping ahead.
Sorry.
You're
book
jumping
two
ahead.
Is Reggie's father, who turns out not to be quite what everybody thought he was, but he's a lovely man. He gets stuck in Normandy, and he actually learns French by speaking to the French people, not through a book or a pencil like you're taught in school. And he speaks French really well, like a Frenchman. Now, when I was 18, I went to Paris to learn French, and I spoke to the main femme de ménage, and I learned French the same way. Chat, just talk in French, picks it up. Anyway, he gets back. There's an explosion there. Some naughty boys, and this is true, found a box of ordnance at the bottom of a parachute. That happened with my husband's friend. He found when they were young, 10-year-olds, they found it in the woods in Firestone Copse, this box of ordnance. So they dragged it home, these lads, in 1953. And when I heard the story, I thought, right. So I shifted the story back to 1941. 1941, and worked around these naughty boys doing exactly the same thing, setting them all off on the beach. And that's the sort of climax at the end of the story. They think there's a raid by the Germans, and it's not. It's all these kids letting off these flares and stuff.
So you finished book two.
Yeah, knowing, with that explosion.
Knowing full well that there was going to be a book three.
Well, yeah, because people kept asking for it. But then I went to listen to one talk at the Ryde Rowing Club, and I listened to Sarah Burdett giving a talk about the fire, about the bombing of cows. And the more I listened to her, the more I realised I could weave Reggie and Lindy into that story, because that was where Colin Weeks and Bert Dewey died. And Mrs. Han, she was the woman who gave out tea, and she brought her lorry, had bought a tea van further down the hill so the firemen didn't have to walk too far. They got blown to bits.
These are films ready to be made.
I would love that. Anybody out there would love to. Some college doing. I would love it. Absolutely love it.
They just strike me as they just need to be made into film, but also an audio book.
Unless you've got in contact with anyone in Hollywood or no.
Well, there is someone here on the Isle of Wight that is connected to Hollywood. There's a few people recently that have won Oscars and so on. Oppenheimer had someone from the Isle of Wight that was doing something I think. Turn it into an audio book.
Yeah,
first.
A lot of the scenes are there because the beach, Littlebridge Beach, I've called it, is Players Beach, and that's more or less the same. And they've got fishing boats there now. They didn't in the war, but they did there. So that was a bit of a tweak of the truth.
And there's a lot of things that, there's one or two things that have been filmed on the island recently, and it might sort of just people. There would be the interest, I guarantee it. But honestly, definitely, you've got to turn these into an audio book.
That's what I would like. I think that's the first bit, do you not think?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and you've already got somebody in mind. It's not Alan Titchmarsh.
I can't think what her name was.
It's not Alan Titchmarsh. You're not going to get him to voice
Darling
it.
Darling
Alan. He got one of your books, didn't he?
He did. And one of my strap lines now is Alan Titchmarsh has read my book. Well, of course he read it, and he gave it third in the Island Junior Children's Book Fiction Children's Book. Should have bought the certificate, shouldn't I?
You should have done. But yeah, can you tell that story when you?
Oh
when
yeah,
you
I was at the county fair, and I'm talking to people and listening to their stories, and they always come up with lovely stories. And all of a sudden, in front of me was Alan Titchmarsh saying, "Hello, Joe. I see you've gone to fiction from." And I went, "Alan Titchmarsh. Hello." So my right hand went out to shake his hand. Then I realised that he was clutching a bag with his right hand. And I thought, either I take my hand away and look rude, or I leave it there and look stupid. So I left it there. And bless his heart, he changed over hands and shook mine. And then he went off. And he went to the next table and he kept looking back at me, winking and pointing to his bag. And I thought, what's he done about? And Robert said, he's got your book in his bag. Because he was doing the judging for this.
Yeah, that's a lovely story. I like that. So these three books now, they're available on... You've got your own website. That's cool, isn't it?
I have. But it'll either forward if people on the island want to buy it, they just give us a ring and we meet up at some mutually convenient place.
Oh, you like meet them with the book?
Oh, I'd love that.
Oh, crikey, that's good, isn't it?
I would love it. I mean, obviously, we can't deliver to the house, but I've met people outside Tesco's, an old gentleman there. He was in Wootton, He was reading it to his elderly sister, who's since passed on, but then he was reading it to her and she loved it. Oh, I've met people at the swimming pool and all sorts of places. So I meet them, mutually convenient place, and we do a deal hand to face to face. So the post office doesn't get an exorbitant fee in stamps. They are awful.
Look, it's www.joecooperbooks.com, all one word, and that's J-O, no E,
yeah,
obviously.
Absolutely.
joecooperbooks.com. Okay, so check it out. www.joecooperbooks.com. You've got an email address as well. Can I pop that out as well?
Yeah, you
can. Is that all right? It's joe@joecooperbooks.com. Simple. And you just got to say, look, I want all three.
It's a phone number there. I don't mind people ringing.
Go on, you do your phone number then.
Well, 01983, obviously, 567874.
Correct. That's what I've got here.
Correct.
So there's three lovely books, and I would imagine they've all got an incredible story. But more importantly, there is that huge link to the Isle of Wight. So if you're an islander looking for a present for somebody, be absolutely perfect. Really would. And I can't wait to meet the person that's going to voice this so we can make this into an
absolutely.
Audio book so I can hear it.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to say before you go? I've got to send you back out there with your husband. He's having a chat with Ross.
Oh, gosh.
I bet he wants to be relieved.
No, he doesn't. He's done everything. He's done the pushing. I was so nervous at the beginning of Red Sky, and he was pushing me and saying, no, you can do it. And my daughter said she watched me at the beginning of the 1946 experience, the first big show we ever did. And she said, Mum, I watched your confidence grow throughout the day and throughout the 2 days, because there's a two-day one. And I suppose it did. I'm more confident because people were lovely and they would tell me stories, what they experienced. I often hear the same story about the man thumbing a lift along the military road because he'd fallen out of his plane and there was nobody there to arrest him. So he was thumbing a lift. Heard that one.
Right. Is there any more in the pipeline?
I don't know. I don't do puberty. I'm not quite sure I thought.
You tease you.
Well, my mother had a lovely love story, so I thought I might do that because after they, they met at the beginning of the war. He was a fireman in Portsmouth, having no career, absolutely nothing. He worked for the gas board or something. Anyway, they got together and married 2 years later after she witnessed the Red Sky. And so I could write a love story about them.
Right.
Get stuck.
Go on then. Then you come back.
I can come back. Thank
you can come back any time. It's really lovely to spend some time with you this lunchtime, and I hope that that you turn these into audiobooks, and then the film comes after that. Because I just got this funny feeling, I'll tell you a story now, and I've already told you this, but the listeners they didn't know this. Obviously, that film that was from the War Horse that was based on the horse from the island, that was. The film was about two and a half hours long, and I was moaning because I said I didn't really want to sit down for 2.5 hours. I can't sit still for that long. And my wife said, you should have read the book. It was a lot shorter. So I just look at these books now and think, you've got three films there.
One of my proofreaders was reading it on the computer, and she got towards the end of the book, and Lindy's in danger of, well, in danger. And she's looking at it and she goes, God, I've got to go to the loo. So she left it and she's sitting on the loo. They can't kill her off. She didn't kill her off. It's a children's book, for goodness sake. She doesn't die.
It's
a lovely
book.
It's a lovely book to read at bedtime and you won't have any nightmares.
Oh.
Because people are so nice and people are nice. Look for the good in people.
Absolutely right. Yeah. It's lovely to see you again. It's lovely to spend some time with you.
Thank you. Hopefully
you're going to come back and tell us news about films and audiobooks too.
But in the meantime,
check out www.joecooperbooks.com. Thanks, Joe.